I want to ask you a question this morning. I think, for me, it was the most important question I have ever had asked me in my entire life. And I was posed this question some 27 years ago. I was not saved at that time, living another life altogether. And it was the first day of a brand new job in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. And I was starting a job as a fabricator, welder, sheet metal man in a large body shop. And the fellow that was the shop foreman, as he was helping me unload my tools, there came a point that he said, "Bruce," he said, "you mind if I ask you a question?" And I said, "No." He said, "If you were to die today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven?" Now, I imagine that at that time in my life, I was like a lot of you guys. There would have been a time that if somebody asked me that question, I'd have probably taken their head off. Though I had been raised in church, I got tired of it, stopped going. It meant nothing to me, and hadn't been to church probably for 7 years when Ralph asked me that question. But that particular day, I didn't respond that way. I looked at him and I said, "Ralph, I don't have any idea." I said, "Can a person even know that for sure?" And he says, "The Bible says you can. And if you'd like, during lunch, I'll show you a couple of verses from the scriptures where you can see that for yourself." So the question that was asked to me, I want to ask you this morning. If you were to die today, this was your last day on earth, could you say in your heart with confidence, "I know beyond any shadow of a doubt, I am 100% certain that I'd go to heaven"? If you cannot, I've got good news for you, just like Ralph had for me. You can know that. I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. I want to begin by sharing one verse with you just to cut to the chase. This was the first verse Ralph showed to me, and it settled the question for me. I realized, hey, you can know this. Just because I didn't know it doesn't mean that it couldn't be known. Didn't mean that the Bible didn't teach it. 1 John chapter 5, all the way in the back of the New Testament. The John that wrote this is the same John that wrote the Gospel of John. That is why 1 John sort of mirrors some of the same things that John talks about in his Gospel. And the reason John says that he wrote the Gospel is where that we might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing in Him, we might have everlasting life. Well, look what John writes in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13. "These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Notice that phrase, "that ye may know that ye have eternal life." So again, I asked you the question, do you know that? Because this verse says that the reason John is writing what he was writing was whereby people might know that they have eternal life. When Ralph asked me that question, I didn't know that. When he showed me this verse, though I saw the verse taught that you could know that, I still didn't know that. there were some things that I needed to understand before I could come to the assurance of my salvation. And those are the things I'd like to share with you this morning from 1 John chapter 5. Now, folks, that day I spent with Ralph in his car as he shared the scriptures with me, without a doubt, was life-changing, life-transforming. Not only did it give me the assurance that I had a home in heaven when I died, but it completely changed the course of my life. That's pretty exciting. And this morning, if you are interested in having that question answered, I will endeavor by God's grace to answer it for you from the Scriptures. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Father, I thank you for this great crowd, number of visitors that you've brought our way this morning. And Father, you know the burden that is on my heart. I believe I've received it from you to preach the gospel this morning and to make it clear enough that even a child can understand what they need to do in order to know for sure that they have eternal life. Father, I would ask for those that would be here that don't have a relationship with you, that you'd open their hearts, that you'd establish faith through the communication of the Word of God, that you'd enable them to understand why it is they need to trust Christ as Savior and what it means to trust Him. I pray for those that have done that, but yet, Lord, they're struggling with the assurance of their salvation. I pray, Lord, that you might give them assurance through your Word this morning. I pray for your people. I pray that they might rejoice in the proclamation of the gospel and be reminded of how good you have been to them in saving their souls. Lord, might your word be powerfully used by the Spirit of God this morning. And for this we would be grateful. For we pray and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. John says in 1 John 5 and verse number 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." In order to understand what John is saying in verse number 13, we have to go back a little bit and look at the things that he is referring to that he has written. Because it is understanding these things that he wrote about prior to this verse that causes us to understand this matter of the assurance of our own personal salvation. And I'd like to back up to verse number 9 and begin. 1 John 5, 9, John writes, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son." Now, John is using the word witness here like that a person does in court when they testify. A witness in the courtroom is not asked to tell anything other than what they have seen with their eyes and believed to be true, and heard with their ears and believed to be true. To go beyond that is perjury. The court is not asking them to do that. John says in verse number 9, "If we receive the witness or the testimony of men," the report of men, "the witness or the testimony of the report of God is greater." Now let me ask you a question. Is there anybody you trust? Now I'm not talking about God. I'm talking about, is there anybody, any human being, that you would say, "I trust them as much as I can"? If they tell me something, because it's coming from them, I believe it to be true. I don't question it. I think probably all of us, listen, we live in a world that has caused us to be skeptical and cynical. But I would dare say, in the life of every single person in this room this morning, there is another human being that you would say, when they tell me something, I trust them. Okay, that's what John's talking about. If you would receive the testimony from another individual and trust them, isn't God greater? If you would be willing to trust a man, shouldn't you be willing to trust God? Now, hold your place here. Let's go left to the book of Titus. If you find the Timothys, you're close. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. Titus chapter 1. One verse. Now, we could literally go to dozens and dozens of verses throughout the Bible and establish this truth. But this one is very clear. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2, Paul writes, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Regardless of what men might do, God cannot lie. That is what the Scriptures teach. Now, listen, I understand if you are new to the claims of the Christian faith, you might say, well, how do we even know the Bible is truth? How do we know we can either trust the Bible? Because the Bible claims repeatedly to be the Word of God. Because the Bible says that God not only would give His Word, but He would preserve it in every generation. And yes, indeed, there is a preliminary step of faith that you must make before you'll ever come to the assurance of your salvation, and that's to settle in your heart whether the Bible is the Word of God or not. Whether it is trustworthy or not. But understand this, it's not because God does not claim to be trustworthy. It's not because God is mixing His words. You can read the verse and see that the Bible clearly says God cannot lie. What you do with that is between you and God. But let me challenge you. There are a lot of people that are just as intelligent as you are, that have been convinced by the Word of God that it is trustworthy. If you are willing to be convinced, you can too. You might indeed have some legitimate questions about, well, how do we know about the translation? How did the Bible come about? You might have some legitimate questions, but listen to me, ask them. Don't use them as an excuse or justification for your unbelief because you are jeopardizing your eternal soul. The first thing that we need to understand is John is saying this report, these things that he's about to say are trustworthy concerning eternal life because they are given to us by God. Okay, turn back if you would to 1 John 5. 1 John 5 and verse number 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness or the testimony of God which He has testified of His Son. So this testimony or witness that John is talking about that we should be willing to trust God in has to do with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now look what he says in verse number 10. He that believes on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. The first part of verse number 10 says, he that believeth on the Son of God, referring to Jesus, the person that has trusted Christ, hath the witness in himself. What does he mean by that? It means for those individuals who have already trusted Christ, they don't need for anyone to testify that this truth is true. They have that witness within themselves. They are personally convinced. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. There was a time that I was as skeptical about the things of God as anybody in this room is today. But through the communication of the Word of God, through seeing what the Bible says, I moved from a position of skepticism to faith in it, trust in it. And the moment I trusted Christ, something happened within me. Nobody had to convince me of the things of God anymore. Nobody had to convince me that the Bible was true. Nobody had to convince me that Jesus was the Son of God. Nobody had to convince me that He was dying on the cross for my sins. Nobody had to convince me that He was the key to eternal life. The Spirit of God had thoroughly convinced me. Now let me tell you how thoroughly He convinced me. That I went from a point of skepticism to a point of faith that has me standing in front of you this morning trying to convince you. I would say that I am testimony to the fact that I have the witness within myself. I don't need anybody to convince me. And you know what? There's a